You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Good morning. It's my privilege to welcome you to Hardin Baptist Church this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Appreciate so much you gathering with us on this first day of a brand new week. We are in between finishing the first book in the book of Psalms and starting Esther next week. And Corey gave me the freedom this morning, since it's Labor Day weekend, to just choose whatever I wanted to speak about. I've been influenced heavily in my life by teachers, whether it was at Faxon or East or Callaway or Mid-Continent or Southern, or some present-day people that are a part of my life. But the teacher who has influenced me the most in my life, I think, is a teacher by the name of Jesus Christ. I love how he could tell a story. He could tell a story better than anybody I've ever heard. And then after telling that story, he would have a spiritual truth to that story. We call that a parable. So if you don't mind this morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to preach a modern day parable based on what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 13. So let's stand together and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, because this is going to be the foundation of my message, but I'm going to have a different story than Jesus has. But we're going to try to take a story, something that happened this summer, and see if there are spiritual truths that might help you and I live the life we're living for the glory of the Lord. Listen to what Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, now we're not going to read the parable because I'm not teaching this parable. I'm going to replace this parable with my parable. Okay? Then, verse 10, the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Whoa. This is why I speak to them parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Wow. Now let's go to verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for this opportunity to just gather on this first day of a brand new week. We realize that we have several that are not here because this is kind of one of the last vacation Sundays for a lot of people in the summer, Labor Day weekend. But thank you for those that are here. And Father, I'm so excited to have the freedom that Corey's given me to share what I think is a modern day parable. And you know, the one who shaped me with this thought is your son, Jesus, and the way he taught in parables. So Father, I pray right now for you to open our eyes and our ears. Don't let us be like those people who don't have the ability to see or hear. Let us be those people who do hear and see. And then let us apply this to our lives and live out these truths the rest of this week. Thank you, Father. And it's in your precious son's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. July 19th of this year, my friend Chuck came over for lunch, but he didn't come over just for lunch. He came over because we wanted to watch the World Cup Championship game. Spain versus Argentina. Now, to be totally honest with you, we were both disappointed that Brazil was not in the final game. And this was going to be a game between Spain of Europe and Argentina of the Americas. Now, can I just say my granddaughter, Evie Kate, is a Messi fan. And she was there pulling for Argentina. If you watch that game, it ended 1-0, 1-0. There was a point toward the end of the game where Spain had 20 shots on goal, Argentina had none. And when that game ended, Argentina was declared World Cup champions. Wow. Now, I got to be totally honest with you. As I was watching that game, I had this thought, and I had this thought a little earlier, but it really dawned on me. America, Mexico, and Canada were hosting the World Cup, and now we were watching literally in our backyard the World Cup championship between a team from Europe and a team from America. And it was as if I just sensed that if Jesus was here, he'd teach a parable. So if you will allow me, since I represent him this morning, I want to share with you a modern day parable. And here's what I'm going to title the parable. The kingdom of heaven is like an international football game. Because when I was watching Spain play Argentina, even though the country that I wanted to win the World Cup was not in the final, I couldn't keep my eye off the game. Argentina representing the Americas and that other team from Spain, Europe, not America. It dawned on me, the kingdom of heaven is like an international football game. There's just two teams. God's team and Satan's team. There were just two teams in the World Cup championship. Spain, Argentina. In life's World Cup, there's just two teams. God's team and Satan's team. God's team is the church. Satan's team is the present world system. Now, I got a question for you. Which team are you on? You on God's team? Or are you on Satan's team? Now, this is going to surprise y'all, but in that World Cup championship, I could not root for Argentina. Can I tell you why? Because I had been doing a lot of WhatsApp texting with my pastors in Brazil, and I've got one pastor down there that just is honest with me. And when he started getting the vibe that I was going to pull for Argentina over Spain because it was an American team, he let me know real quick that I could not root for Argentina. You know what he said to me? Pastor Espedito said to me that if I root for Argentina, I can never come back to Brazil again and teach my pastors. Do you know why? Because Argentina is Brazil's rival. It would be like somebody who loves Kentucky pulling for Duke. You just don't do that. Amen? My granddaughter is a Messi fan. Argentina is South America. We're North America. Can I say it again? Spain? Way across that ocean. And I had to sit there and be neutral because I couldn't pull for Spain. Now, don't tell my pastors in Brazil, but I was leaning. You know who our rival is? It's the world. Please let that sink in. If you're on God's team, the church, we have a rival. And it's the world. And how dare you secretly root for the world? How dare we secretly engage and be influenced by the present world system? You ready? Let's dig in. A modern day parable. The kingdom of heaven is like an international football game. If you are on God's team, I want you to remember this. We are graced to be on God's team. It's not because of anything we did or do on our own that gets us on God's team. God drafted us, God called us, God transformed us to be on his team. Did you catch that? He drafted us before the foundation of the world. And then there was a time in our life when he stepped into our life with the preaching of the gospel, and he called us unto himself. And from that moment, he's been transforming us into the team player. We are on his team. For see, when we started out, we weren't on God's team. We was on the world's team. Because when we were physically born, we were born in Adam, we received his nature, we were dead to God, alive to the power of sin within us. We was a sinner, and it was our nature to sin, and we lived according to our unredeemed nature. And we had no clue that we had already been drafted before the foundation of the world. But then that day came. That day came when God called us. It was through the gospel, maybe through a personal witness with the gospel, or maybe in a public service, the gospel being preached, the Holy Spirit opened our eyes to the truth that we were dead in sin. And we repented of being a sinner, put our faith in Christ. And the moment we put our faith in Christ, God made us brand new. And he moved us out of Adam into Christ. And the old man that we were died. And a new man was born inside us. And this new man was not dead to God, alive to sin. This new man was now alive to God, dead to sin. And now we have a new nature. And that nature does not want to sin. That new nature wants to obey God. And we don't live our life according to our unredeemed flesh. We live our life according to the Spirit of God. Now, when you got saved, you may not have realized this or not, but you're going to know it this morning. You became a member of God's team, the church. Now, when I watched that Spain and Argentina game, I could clearly tell which team was Argentina, and I could clearly tell which team was Spain because of the jerseys that they wore. So when you become a member of God's team, God wants you to put on the jersey. And the way you put on the jersey, according to Galatians 3:27, is this. For as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. So how do you put on Christ? You put on Christ through believers' baptism. So here's what happened. So when you got baptized, you were changing uniforms. Yes. When you went down into the water of baptism, brand new person. Yeah. this about me? Because of you and because of our ministry in Brazil, I have fell in love with Brazil. But my home country is Scotland. 6 years ago, I heard for the first time that the 2026 World Cup was going to be hosted by Mexico, the United States, and Canada. And you know what I did? I started praying selfishly. Total selfishly. I started praying, Lord, please don't let Brazil play in Mexico or Canada. Let Brazil play in America. And I prayed for years. And I've been waiting for the schedule to be released. And then the schedule was released. In World Cup competition, 48 teams would play three group games. And guess where all three of Brazil's games were played? In America. And guess who their third game was going to be against? Scotland. In Harden's backyard, Miami, Florida. Woo-hoo! Amen? Now, here is the bad news. The bad news is my wife, Mimish, did not want to go to Miami and watch Brazil play Scotland in football. So I had to ask a friend. And he decided to go with me. So my friend Chuck and I, we get tickets to go to the game. Now, y'all get this picture. We fly in the day before. We decide to go down to the beach, and on the beach, we're going to eat some seafood. And just as soon as I get out of the car and he's paying for the parking spot, somebody in Portuguese hollers at me and tells me who's in the restaurant. And it was Jorginho. The man who led us to our fifth World Cup title in 2002. He's in a restaurant, a restaurant. I go into the restaurant. He grins at me. I speak Portuguese to him. We take a selfie together. And then he takes a pen and signs my jersey. The other one I had on. Ooh, glory. Now that's the day before. Next day, game's going to start at 6 o'clock, and Chuck and I thought we wanted to make sure we got there early. Gate was going to open at 3, or parking at 3, gate at 4. And so we got there real early, 11 o'clock in the morning. We paid $100 to park in somebody's yard. And then we just started looking for restaurants, and we found this restaurant. I've got my Brazil jersey on, not the signed one, just another jersey that one of the pastors gave me in Brazil. And we go to this restaurant that opens at 11 o'clock. We go in, and when we walk in, it's a restaurant about this size. And when we walk in, right beside the door at a table is 8 Scottish people. Now, did I tell you I'm from Scotland? They're sitting at the table, and when I walk in, you know what they did? Boo! They booed me. So being Pastor Hickey, I just went over there to the table, started talking to him, and I went, wow, I can't believe it. Have y'all heard of the reputation of the Scottish and alcohol? They're over the top. So I'm looking at this table of 8, and they're all drinking water. They've just been served. And I say, wow, I can't believe it. The first Scottish people in America who don't drink alcohol. And they looked at me and said, just wait. Waitress took us to the back corner. I don't know if she was being wise, but she took us to the far back corner table. So they're at this table in this corner. I'm back there at that table. And all of a sudden, there's one other couple in there sitting beside us who've got Scottish gear on too. And all of a sudden, they holler, hey, 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 Pastor Hickey, come here, come here, come here. And I come over there, and they're all drinking alcohol, and they're toasting me, and they take a selfie with me. Y'all know I'm the guy who's never had a taste of alcohol in my life, right? Next thing you know, that restaurant fills up 85% Scots, 15% Brasileiros. and I'm having the time of my life. So I'm going to every Scottish table, and when I go to the Scottish table or I meet somebody standing up, I say, hey, just want you to know I'm from Scotland. And they look at me. And then I say, you don't know this, but my family was the first family to serve Protestant communion, the Lord's Supper, on the soil of Scotland by the reformer John Knox. And my family was the first one. And you know what all of them would do? When I was telling this story, they would come up to me literally and put their hands on me and grab my jersey and try to take it off of me. And in their Scottish English, which is hard to understand, they were confused. How could you, Pastor Hickey, say you are from Scotland and you're wearing a Brazil jersey? I told every Scottish person in that restaurant my story, and every one of them doubted that I was really from Scotland. Because you know what they knew? If I was really from Scotland, I would not have a Brasileiro jersey on. And then it dawned on me. It was as if the Holy Spirit of God got my attention and he said to me, that's why so many people in your area don't believe some of your people are really Christians. They say they're Christians because they said a sinner's prayer. They went down an aisle and prayed a prayer. But the jersey they wear is the world's. They say one thing on Sunday, but they say another thing by their actions at school, at work, in the break room, at the ball game. Which jersey are you wearing? God's jersey? The church's jersey? That says you're alive to God, dead to sin? Your old nature that wanted to sin is dead. You now have a new nature that wants to obey God? The jersey that says, I do not walk according to my unredeemed flesh, but I walk according to the Spirit of God. We are graced to be on God's team. Put on the right jersey. The world is never going to believe what you say with your lips. They're only going to believe what you say with your life. Does your jersey say, I'm dead to sin and alive to God? Or does your jersey say, I'm dead to God and alive to see him? Amen. Now here's where Jesus and I are going to differ just a little bit. Parables that he taught had one primary point. Brother Ricky's got 3 points. First point, we are graced to be on God's team. And here's the second point. We are gifted to play our position. Ready for this? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Holy Spirit of God, the moment you got saved, gifted you with a spiritual gift. And he give you this gift. It's because of your spiritual birth, not your physical birth. So this gift is coming from your heavenly Father. It's not coming from your DNA of your mom and your dad. So you have a gift from him. And then you have a ministry in which you use that gift. And then in that ministry that you're using that gift in, you have a spiritual enabling that enables you to do whatever you do in that ministry. And the reason you have the gift and the ministry and the enabling you have is because you play a position on God's team. And this gift you have, it's not for you, it's for us, the church. We don't play the World Cup of life for personal individual glory. We play on God's team for the glory of the team, the glory of God. Amen? So understand the reason you have the spiritual gift, the spiritual ministry, and the spiritual name you have is so that we can be the team God wants us to be. Now, if I could use international football to explain this. Normally on a field of play, in an international football game, there's 11 players on each team. The goal of the game is for us to get our ball, the game ball, down the field, and we want to put the ball in their net, and when we put the ball in their net, if we've done it legally by the rules, we get a point. But the other team is trying to keep us from getting the ball in their net. And once they take the ball from us, they start coming our way, and they're trying to get the ball in our net. And at the end of the game, regulation play, if there's not extended play, and there's not penalty kicks, in a World Cup championship, there's not going to be a tie. Somebody wins. And it's who scores the most goals. So catch this. International football, we're trying to score, but they're trying to score. So when we're not scoring, we're defending. And while we're defending, we want to score. Everybody got that? 11 players. Now, traditionally, here's how football works. If this is our goal down here, we're guarding our net with a goalie. And his only responsibility is to keep the ball from going in the net. Because if the ball goes in the net, they get a point. Now, in the World Cup of life, the net for us is people who don't know Jesus. We're trying to get the ball, the gospel, into their life so they can put their faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody understand that? Everybody got that? But what's God, Satan's team trying to do? Satan's team's trying to get the world in our net. And you know who our nets are? It's every one of us. If you're on God's team, you're a net. And you know what Satan's trying to do? He's trying to get his system, the world system, into your life. Because he wants to take you out. And if he can't take you out personally, he wants to get you doing things so that you have no influence with those around you who you love. Because he don't want you influencing them. So while we're trying to take the gospel and share it with people, Satan's trying to take us out of the game. So some of you in the church, watch this. You are the goalie on our team. You may be a dad, you may be a mom, you may be a brother, you may be a sister, you may be a teacher, you may be a principal, you may be a business owner, you may be an employee, you may be a best friend. And you have a spiritual gift news because God has somebody in your life that he's using you to keep Satan out of their life to destroy them. And you see him coming at your friend or your brother or your sister, your husband, your wife, and you are there defending, deflecting. Does that make sense? Now, this game is so important that most teams now have three people on the team because we've got 10 other players. That goalie's never going to leave that goal, but we've got three people right here, and they're called defenders, and their responsibility is when the team starts getting the ball on our end, no, we're gonna get it away. We're not going to let them even have a shot at our net. And then we have the midfielders in the center of the field. It's usually four. One, three, and four. And if I'm a midfielder, I've got a position to where I play defense, but I'm also attacking, I'm passing, I'm assisting to get the ball to our attackers. But in this position, I go both ways. Down here, I'll never score. I'm a defender. As a midfielder, I'll possibly never score. But I'm defending and I'm attacking. And then down here, oh, we love these guys. Neymar Jr., Vini Jr., Ronaldo, Messi. They're called attackers, and there's normally three. And we're trying to get the ball to one of these guys so that we can get the ball in the net. Here's what I want you to listen to me about. Sorry for this rattling we're having in the system. You play one of these positions. You're either a goalie, a defender, a midfielder, or an attacker. We keep a stat in international football called assist, called saves, called deflections. You know why? Because every movement of the ball is important. Messi would not score if it was not for that person assisting him. Some of you in the church, you've never had the privilege to personally lead someone to Christ. But you know what you've done? You've assisted many, many times and may not even have realized it. When you made that cake, when you made that hospital visit, when you encouraged that person who was going through a crisis, you was opening them up for the attacker to share the gospel. And when the attacker shared the gospel and they got saved, you got the assist. And you won't know till you get to heaven how many assists you have. And there's some of you that you have no idea how many times Satan tried to take out somebody in the church, but because of your spiritual gift, because of you teaching, because of you worshiping, because of you baking that cake, because of your giving, because of your encouragement, because of you defended the goal. And that person's still in the game. Because of you. You are gifted to play your position. Now, guys, this question. Are you playing your position? Seriously. Because that brings me to my third point. We are graced to be on God's team. We're gifted to play our position. We are gathered on the field, not in the stands. The World Cup of life is not played in a building. It's played on the field. That's in our schools. That's in our factories. That's in our businesses. That's in our restaurants. That's in our convenience stores. That's in our homes. It's not played here. So we gather on the field, not in the stands. The game finally started. Chuck and I got there early. We was one of the first ones to go in. I stood an hour and a half in line to buy this jersey, both jerseys. And then I finally took my seat. Oh, God is so good. Three rows from the field was a half Brasileiro named Pastor Hickey with his friend Chuck. And we were right on that line that when the ball's coming this way, you call offsides or you don't call offsides. And right in front of me was Vinny Jr. And then I had heard one of my favorite Brasileiro futebol jogadores was going to play. His name is Neymar Jr., but he got injured. Barely got chosen for the team, missed the first two group cup games. But the rumor was he might play in this game And I'm selfishly asking God, please let me see Neymar Jr. play. And all of a sudden in the second half, because we're up 3-0 over Scotland, Brazil, I see him warming up on the sideline. And all of a sudden they put Neymar Jr. in the game. And because he's an attacker, guess where he played the whole game? Right in front of Pastor Hickey. When I took pictures of him, I didn't even have to zoom my camera. He was right there, Neymar Jr. And I'm thinking, God, thank you. I'm one of 64,478 people in the backyard of Hardin watching Brazil play Scotland. And I'm seeing Neymar Jr. And then I had a thought. You ever had a thought? As great as it was to be in the stands watching my team, imagine what it would have been like to be on the team in the game. You in the game? Or are you in the stands? Go, Pastor Corey. Go, Brother Corey. Go, Corey. Go, go, go. Go, worship team. Go, go, go. Yay, yay, yay. We're not spectators. We're players playing our position because we've been graced to be on God's team. You're going to play it this week at that restaurant you eat in, maybe the school you attend, the place where you work, that interaction you have with that person who cut you off and honked. Yeah. Now, I want to remind you a few things in the 10 minutes I got left. The point of the parable is this. We're graced to be on God's team. We're gifted to play our position. And we're gathered on the field, the pitch, not the stands. I want to remind us in this World Cup of life, who owns our team? It's God. God the Father. You know why he owns it? He bought it. You know how much he paid for it? The blood of his son, Jesus. Can we all say, wow? Do you realize how valuable you and I are as a franchise to God? He paid with the blood of his son. And in paying with the blood of his son, he judged his son in our place on that cross, and he suffered, bore the wrath of God so that you and I could move off the world's team onto God's team. Are you playing up to your price tag? Are you taking this seriously like God takes it seriously? And then can I remind you who our coach is? Jesus Christ. Y'all ready for this? He's the GOAT! He's the GOAT! Woo-hoo! Hands down, no discussion. The most glorious of all time. Woo, glory. See, our coach, who's coaching us in the game, played the game before us. And he won the game for us. He lived the life we couldn't in a body just like ours. so that he could go to the cross and die the death we should have, so that we now in the game of life can play like he played. Are you listening to me? Our goat is not Messi or Ronaldo or Neymar Jr. or Pelé. No. It's Jesus Christ. Is your desire to be like him? You have a personal coach. You have a personal trainer. Each one of us. Wow. And then I got to talk about that other person on the field that most of us do not like. We don't like it when he blows the whistle, and sometimes we don't like it when he doesn't blow the whistle. He's called the referee. Just one guy. On the field with 22 other players. Man. He's always where the action is. And it really doesn't matter what the player thinks or the other player thinks or the coach thinks or anybody in the stands. It really doesn't matter what they think. The only person that it matters of what they think is him. And when he blows that whistle, it's final. Can I tell you who the referee in life is? It's the Holy Spirit of God. And he's not in heaven. He's on the field with us. Not beside us, in us. Wow. Don't you let this sink in. He is not going to let us play the game like the world plays the game. I don't want to hear any of you anymore in the church telling me we, the church, have got to act more like the world to survive. No! Holy Spirit of God will not let Christians act like the world in any circumstance. Are you listening to me? And if you try it, if you're his, he's going to blow the whistle and he's going to say foul. He's going to stop the game. And he's not going to continue to let you do what you're wanting to do. Now, y'all know this. I was raised in Kentucky. When I was raised in Kentucky, outside of Dexter, I grew up wanting to be a Kentucky basketball player. Point guard. In my freshman year in high school, I realized it was never going to happen. Was never going to happen. But basketball is what I love. Basketball is what I knew. And then all of a sudden, the Lord opened up this ministry for our church to go to Brazil. And when I went to Brazil, I didn't get to show anybody how to play basketball. But I got introduced to this game called futebol. And all of a sudden, I'm in Bahrain and I'm watching, and everywhere I go, adults, youth, everybody's playing futebol. There's futebol fields all over that city. So I'm watching, and after about 4 days, I decide I know enough about the game that I want to play, and if somebody will invite me, I'm going to play. And I got invited. I was the only Americano out of the 29 people who went on the first mission trip to get invited to play in a Brazilian futebol game. And somehow the coach looked at me and felt like I would be an attacker. So that's the person who's going to get to score the goals, hopefully. So the next thing you know, we're playing the game, and then all of a sudden, the ball comes my way, bam, right in the net. I run all over that field. I'm just cheering. And I'm having time. And then all of a sudden, the ref's going. And he's in my face saying, no, 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 no. That's Portuguese for no. I didn't understand. So the translator comes over, and the translator explains to me, there's this line, and I was offsides. I mean, in basketball, you try to get down there before the other guy gets down there, right? Well, evidently, I can't do that in futebol. So it didn't count. So I get my head back on. I'm in the game again, and we're in the second part of the game, and all of a sudden, ball comes to me again, and oh, there he is. There's a defender between me and him, so therefore, this is going to be good if I can do it, and I did it. I went to the right, to the left, boom, in the goal, and I scored, and I ran all the way around again, but before I started running, I looked at the ref. And he grinned at me, being the only Americano on the field. And it counted. And woo-wee, I celebrated. I am one of the few Americanos to score a goal in a football game in Brazil on the bank of the Amazon River. Now, I need to be honest with you. I was playing against the second graders, but that doesn't matter. It's still a goal. Amen? Holy Spirit is going to make sure you play the game right. Because this ain't about you. It's about the team. And it's about Him. And if you're not careful, that foul's going to turn into a yellow card. And He's going to wave it and warn you. If you keep going down this road, something really bad's going to happen. And if you don't listen, yeah, Holy Spirit inside you is going to blow His whistle and He's going to give you a red card. And now you're not in the game anymore. Now, He ain't going to move you up to the stands. He's going to put you on the bench. You listening to me? Some of you are here right now and you know you've had a red card given to you. You're sidelined. You're still in the game. You're just not on the field. You're on the bench. You listen to Him. You deal with the part of the world that's in you. You deal with your unredeemed flesh. Because the Holy Spirit of God is not going to let you play the game in your flesh and in the spirit, in the flesh and in the spirit. He never wants your flesh to show. And that's why He not only drafted you and He not only called you, He's transforming you into the person of Jesus Christ because He wants you to play the game right. So quit glorying in the way the world does things. That's wrong. And it dishonors God. This game is not about you and me. It's about us and God and us trying to get the gospel into the lives of other people. So I want to remind you, we're the players. The saints of God are the players. Now I've just got 16 seconds. So I got to do this quick. Something was added to the 2026 World Cup that's never been in the World Cup before. Only because it was played in America, Mexico, and Canada, and only because our three countries was having an extreme heat wave like never before. In the first half and the second half, they had hydration breaks. There was a time where they stopped the play, team got on the sideline, and they're gulping. They're gulping. They got fans. They're gulping. Now, I want to say this to us. There's never been a time in America where it's harder to be the church than it is today. Never. It's hot out there. So you need a hydration break. Bi-weekly. On Sunday morning, either at 8, 9:30, or 11, you need to gather in here and you need to gulp, 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 gulp the word of God as it's preached. And you need to gulp, 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 worship as we're worshiping. And you need to gulp, 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 fellowship as it's happening. And then if you're like me and you're leaky, you probably need to come back on Wednesday and have another hydration break. There's just something about us getting together. And then you need a daily hydration break. Just you and God. You're in His Word, you're praying to Him, you're talking to Him, you're fasting. Amen. You can't keep overflowing if there's not an inflow of God in your life. Amen. Hey, guys, this is the World Cup of Life. We're going to get the ball, the gospel, into the net of those around us. Amen. And we're going to keep the world system out of our net. Now, hydration break, it's over. You go out there, you're back on the field, the pitch. Your Father paid for you. Jesus lived the life you couldn't so that you can now live the life he did. And the Holy Spirit is going to help you. Let's get in the game. God bless. Have a great, great, great rest of the day.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.